Right, we are still in Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 16. And I don't know what it was like when you were at school, but if you were doing a series of lessons on a particular subject, you'd come in after 3 weeks, and the teacher would say, let's find out what we've learned so far. And so we would have a test. No, you're okay. We'll not do it this morning. But it's worth just thinking about whether we're actually learning from what we're hearing. For a while, we've been going through this series in Ephesians called Sit, Walk, and Stand. And I don't know if you were curious when Josh said this is what we're doing as to where do these three random words come from. And they come from this book about walking the Christian life, based in Ephesians, called Sit, Walk, Stand. It's a book by a Chinese pastor called Watchman Nee. Now, he was imprisoned during Chairman Mao's Cultural Revolution. Is that prophetic? In the late 60s, and he actually died in prison in the 1970s. And this little book still has a lot to teach us about living the Christian life, because he certainly learned how to stand in the face of opposition and ended his life in prison. So there's quite a lot to learn from somebody who is from a different culture and from a different age. We started off, a little bit of revision, we started off with sit, which was about learning to rest in God's presence. And just to remind you what that is like, let's think about your favourite armchair, okay? Which might or might not look like this. But when you get home after a long day, you sit in your favourite armchair, and you know, you just kind of, oh, you feel yourself sink into it, you feel your muscles relax. You just get that sense of, oh, your head goes back, this is brilliant, the cares of the day disappear. You could nod off. That, in a sense, is what we've been talking about when we're talking about sitting in God's presence. It's about allowing ourselves to relax into God's presence, to allow our cares, our worries, this life that we live, just to rest on Him. And to relax and to gain strength from Him. So that's what sit has been about being comfortable in God's presence and learning from Him and putting our life, our future, and everything we do into His hands. We've then moved on to walk, and we've been doing this for a couple of weeks now in part two of Ephesians. And having gained our strength by sitting, to actually do anything, we do need to walk. Now, on my computer at home, this little man is actually walking, so technical glitch on the presentation. But we can't do anything or walk without putting effort in. And walking is about living our life. And we looked at this, as Pete and Josh have talked to us over the last couple of weeks. At Ephesians 4 verse 1 says this, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Live the life. And we reminded, I think Pete reminded us, that in the older translation it says, I beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation you are called. I really like the translation in the Message, which is more modern, which says this, in the light of all this, here's what I want you to do. While I'm locked up here, a prisoner for the master, I want you to get out there and walk, better yet, run on the road God has called you to travel. So walk and walking is about living our life as a Christian, living our faith out in our day-to-day life in society. Now, let's go back to our little man for a minute. When Josh first asked me to preach on this passage, I got so excited. There's so much amazing stuff in here, isn't there? One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Wow, I could preach on that. And the unity of the body. Christ is the head. All the amazing things. And then he said, I'm actually going to give you two words. Okay. Pastor and teacher. Okay. So now I did actually mention this to somebody yesterday and they said, oh no, you've been given three words, pastor and teacher. But you'll be pleased to know today that I intend to spend no time at all on that little connective word. We're just going to focus on the other two words. And just to go back again and remind us some of the things that we've learned over the past few weeks. Josh helped us to understand the difference between spiritual gifts and ministries, which is where we are. So spiritual gifts are things that God gives us through the power of his Holy Spirit by the grace he pours out on us. And he gives us these kind of gifts, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, administration, etc. There's quite a long list in 1 Corinthians 12, if you want to look them up, and in other places in the Bible. And they are handed out by the Spirit to help us in our day-to-day life. Ministries, which is where we are at the moment, are a little bit different. They're more like the job you do. And the gifts God gives us help us to do the job we've been given. Let's assume that you were no good at maths at school. In fact, you positively did not like it. There may be some here who can identify with that. How would you be if your job was an engineer or a maths teacher? Well, I'd like to suggest, first of all, you would probably be no good at it at all. And the second thing is, you would probably hate it. And the thing about the ministries that God gives us is that they very often align to our God-given gifts. So if you are doing a ministry at church at the moment, if you are in a job and this is how you feel, you are probably in the wrong job, in the wrong ministry. John Mills was the first vicar I ever knew who stood at the front of church and said, if you are stressed and worried and feel you're in the wrong job, stop it. I would rather not do it than have you feel like that. Which was an incredible release for some people. So being stressed in the job you do at church, I would say, has two implications. One is, it makes you feel like this. You're probably not doing it very well. You're certainly not enthusiastic, and it's not going to encourage you in your faith. But that means there is a job for you that aligns with your natural God-given abilities that's waiting for you to do with enthusiasm and with joy and commitment. And the fact you're doing something that you hate, do you know, there is probably somebody else in our church who has those gifts, who would relish the opportunity of doing the job you're doing, but they can't do it because you're doing it. Okay, so if you feel a bit like this, you may be in the wrong job. So we'll play musical chairs afterwards and just swap everything around, perhaps. So our ministry or our job in our Christian life very often lines up with the things that we are naturally gifted at. Last week, Josh looked at three of these ministries. He looked at apostle, at prophet, and evangelist. Today, we're moving on to my two words, which are pastor and teacher. I've very much arranged them in this body shape because the whole of Ephesians is full of this body imagery, the unity of the body. We are a body in Christ. We're all together performing a single function, but we all have different roles and different parts. And that's one of Paul's great images that he gives us in the book of Ephesians. So Josh reminded us also that these jobs are not for the special few. You don't have to be, now this depends on your age, a Billy Graham or a Mike Pilavachi to be an evangelist. We can all do these roles because when we read them in the Bible, they are plural. Apostles, pastors, teachers. So there should be a number of us in the church with those gifts and those ideas. So let's move on to our first word for today, which is pastor. I wonder what you think of when we think of this word. When you say it, it just has that kind of feel about it, doesn't it? But maybe it's more like this. If you're a TV watcher, you may recognise Rev. I was thinking about a picture of Josh there, but I wasn't sure. But the word pastor actually comes to us from the Latin. I'm not going to pronounce it, but it's a word that actually means a shepherd. So that's why the two words are often interchangeable. And shepherd or pastor means somebody who cares for others with a tender heart. Someone who sees needs and then encourages people. Sees somebody in need and offers support and encouragement. But not only someone who sees those situations and stands alongside you, but someone who will then help you move on to better things, whether in life or in your faith, in the way we walk together. A friend of Jill's has recently given up work, and, she's got to that kind of age, you know what I mean. She said to us the other week, "I'm developing a coffee and cake ministry," because she spends her day meeting up with people and visiting people, friends, people that she knows from the church, and they chat over coffee and cake. It's not a bad description of what it's like to be a pastor. Although I would watch the cake on every occasion because it's probably not very good for the waistline. The coffee wouldn't be too bad. So pastors, they really enjoy kind of one-on-one chats with people. They're the kind of people that you could walk up to and have a really good conversation with. The kind of person you could share your feelings with and your thoughts. The kind of person that you could be honest with. Do you know, loads of times we walk up to each other in church and we go, "Hi, and how are you today?" And providing people say, "I'm fine, thank you, we're happy." But if somebody starts to say, "Well, actually, how many of us can really, really cope with that?" But a pastor, someone with that shepherd heart, is the kind of person that you would say, "Well, actually, I'm feeling really rubbish today because of this." And they will say, "Well, let's just talk about that, or come and sit with me, or let's go and pray." So if you, as we talk about this, if you can call to mind people in our church that you would talk to, that which you would share your heart with and your feelings, that you know they would care for you and that they would pray with you, then they're probably a pastor in this sense. And if you listen to me speaking and you think, "Well, actually, I do a fair bit of that," then you're also probably a pastor. So just kind of bear that in mind. In John chapter 10, Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. And it's always great as we live our life to look back to Jesus and see how did he live and what did he do. And he's called the Good Shepherd. And in Psalm 23 is that great picture of the shepherd, that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't fear because he is with us. So in those times of trouble and difficulty, a pastor and Jesus is walking with us. But the great thing about Psalm 23 is it has the other side of that, where it says, I lead you, he leads me, to still waters and to green pastures. So the role of the pastor, yes, is to be with people at difficult times and to comfort and to care, but also to lead people on to better places in their life and in their faith. So that's our pastor. They are with people and they help people to move on. Let's move on to teacher. I wonder what you think of when we say the word teacher. Now, this was my thought. I don't know how many of you are old enough to remember who this is. This is a guy called Jimmy Edwards. And he had a program based in a school called Wacko. In those days when Wacko was actually with the cane and we used to cane people. So that might be your recollection of teacher, or we might have something perhaps a bit friendlier and a bit more modern. The word teacher in the Bible is based on a Greek word, which again I am not going to pronounce, but it means to hold forth the truth and be excited by it. Now, how many teachers can you remember at school who were the most dull, boring people the world had ever known? Okay? Now, how much did you actually learn from them? And I remember when I was quite young, we had people in my home church, and they would go, I've got the joy of the Lord deep down. Nowhere else. Only deep down. And what can I learn from them in terms of their excitement and their thrill and their joy of walking in the faith? I don't know. So teaching is, if you have a ministry of teaching, you'd have knowledge about the Bible and about the Christian faith. And you'd want to talk to people about it with enthusiasm, with a bit of excitement, because it really is exciting. Now, I know people who've got tremendous knowledge about the Bible. They can talk about it for hours. And to be quite honest, it does get boring after a while, because we need to keep our focus on the fact that it's all about Jesus. He is the point of knowing about the Bible. Jill talked about that when she did the kind of let's read the Bible talk during the Alpha course, the big Alpha course that we ran. It's all about Jesus. So there's no point us having massive detailed knowledge about the Bible if we lose sight of who it's about. And it's all about him. But you know, we don't learn an awful lot by reading or by listening to people talk. So you might as well go home now. No. This is why we have things on the screen to a certain extent. This is one of those, it's a well-known fact that, etc. But we only remember 10% of what we read. We're not very good at retaining things. And we only remember 20% of what we actually hear. Now, that's why I quite like to use a bit of visual, because if we go down the list, you might remember 50% of what you see and what you hear. So then we might go away with a little bit more this morning. But to be quite honest, the best way we learn is when we are teaching others, because we get to know our subject. But the thing that excites me more than anything is we learn 80% of what we experience. So the whole thing, if you are called to be a teacher in the church, in our fellowship, it's not a lot about what you say. It's about your daily walk with God. It's about how you live the life that God has called to. I had this, this is a very old poem, but it's something I remember from my childhood. And it's all about this experience of seeing other people living the life. And it says, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. You might be thinking that already. I'd rather somebody walk with me than merely tell the way. Now, I don't know what you're like when you're out and about travelling and you stop and ask somebody for directions. By the time they've gone, bottom of the road, turn right, second left, I've lost it altogether. I can remember the first couple of instructions, but I've lost it completely. But if they said, well, I'm in my car, just follow me. Or if they said, actually, I'm going that way, so if I get in with you, I'll show you how to get there. The whole thing about living our life is that we live out our Christian faith and people can see our faith in action. And they can learn from that. I'm not saying we're setting ourselves up to be Christ-like examples, but you know, we're having a go. And there are things about the way we live and the way we say and the way we talk that sets us apart. And from time to time, people say, well, what is it about you that's just a bit different? Or why would you behave in this way? Or why would you put yourself out to help that person? Or whatever it might be. The poem finishes off with the phrase, there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. So being a teacher isn't just about talking. It's about encouraging people. It's about being a demonstrator of the Christian faith. It's about walking alongside people, being able to talk about your faith and your life and the gospel. Can you explain things in a way that people find easy to grasp? Then you may be a teacher. Or you may, as we talk, think about people in church, the way they speak, the way they live their life, something about them, you learn from it on a day-to-day basis. Let's just draw this together. Fivefold ministries, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Let's remember two things. They're plural. So in our church fellowship, there will be numbers of people with these roles. And the purpose of it, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, which we've now read three times in the last 3 weeks, says this, to equip his people for works of service. And that's the whole purpose of it, to equip us for works of service in our daily walk with God. We may not all be called to be a pastor, but we certainly are all called to care. We may not all be called to be teachers, but we are all called to live out God's truth in our lives. We're not all called to be prophets, but we're certainly all called to listen to God's voice. We're not all called to be evangelists, but we are all called to share the good news as part of our daily life. We're not all called to be apostles, but we are all called to walk out or go into what God wants us to do in this church and in our life. And we can move in and out of these different ministries at different times of our life. Doesn't mean to say, you're a pastor now, you're always a pastor, or you've never been one, you may be. But the good news is that we don't have to struggle and try and do this all in our own strength, because the Holy Spirit comes and gives us gifting and gives us strength to live our daily life. This famous verse from Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Let's just stand for a moment. I'll leave that slide on the screen as we look to respond. We just stand in a bit of quietness for a while. Has God been speaking to us about the role that we fulfill in this place? Has God been calling us to walk a different path in our day-to-day life? Has God been speaking to us about being more reliant on Him and about the strength the Spirit can give us to live day by day? Father, we thank you that you are a generous God. You pour out your grace on us. You pour out your Spirit on us. You sent your only Son to pay the price that we might have this relationship with you. What would you hold back from us? Absolutely nothing. And Father, we thank you for that love for us. I pray that you will be with us during this time of response through the power of your Spirit. Amen.